You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. In a couple weeks ahead of the Super Bowl, the Pro Football Hall of Fame will announce this year's inductees, and voters will be making a controversial decision. One player up for a posthumous induction is former Kansas City Chiefs offensive tackle Jim Tyer. A dominant player during his career, Tyer was once considered a shoo-in for the Hall of Fame. But in 1980, he was removed as a candidate after he killed his wife in a murder-suicide. Decades later, his name is back in contention as the NFL grapples with what football can do to the brain and a growing awareness about the brain disorder CTE, chronic traumatic encephalopathy. Some believe, including Tyer's children, that he suffered from a severe case of CTE. Joining us now is Kevin Patrick Allen. He's a former journalist and the filmmaker behind the documentary A Good Man, The Jim Tyer Story. Good afternoon. Thank you for taking the time.
Thank you.
Kevin, you have some local ties here to Northern California. What got you into documentary filmmaking?
Really a desire to go deeper on stories. I think any journalist that you talk to that's been out on the scene of a tragedy and encountered, say, a family that you're talking to them on the worst day of their life, and then it seems like every journalist is burning rubber out to the next story. And it's such a disservice. And, over the course of my career, it weighed on me. And so once I had the opportunity to really dig deeper, I snatched it.
How did you first learn about Jim Tyer?
In Kansas City, we're in a heyday for the Chiefs, of course. Everyone probably knows that. And there are four children, the Tyer children, in the Kansas City area that just by happenstance, I got to know one of them and just so greatly admired the fact that this woman who actually cut my wife's hair, she was the equivalent of the stereotypical bartender that listens to everybody's problems, but never really shares their own. And I wanted to know her backstory. Of course, she's married, so I didn't know her name was Tyer. And as I dug in, I got to know her siblings. And it was remarkable that you've got four people, three of them were in the house when their mother and father were killed and heard it and saw it. And they're these stable, empathetic, giving individuals. And so really that was the impetus for the story. It wasn't even their dad to begin with. It was, how did these kids do so well in life in light of what they dealt with in childhood?
For people who might not be football fans, tell us about who Jim Tyer was and the NFL great that he was decades ago.
So the very first Super Bowl that the Chiefs won, Jim Tyer was in many ways responsible. His job was left tackle. And left tackle, as we all know from the book and the movie Blindside, is the person responsible for keeping that quarterback upright. Jim Tyer was that person for the Kansas City Chiefs for 14 years. And in those 14 years, he was named the best at his position in all of pro football 6 times. He was 9 times a Pro Bowler, which means you're in the top 2 or 3. So you're talking about just a dominant force that helped the Chiefs win 3 AFL titles, a Super Bowl title, and had another Super Bowl appearance. So one of the best, absolute shoe-in for the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. And then on September 15th in 1980, Tyer murdered his wife, Martha Tyer, before killing himself in a murder-suicide. What can you tell us about who Martha was as a person?
Martha is the forgotten person in the story. And of course, that's often the case for football players, the support system, the wife that, she's the one who is making sure the kids get where they need to be. She's the one who's supporting her husband when he feels like he's been in a car wreck every weekend coming home from a game. She is a tiny woman in contrast to her husband, who was 6'6", 320 pounds. And yet people around her said, Martha runs the show. She is the strong one. She is the one that holds things together. And in many ways, Jim fell in love with her based on her strength and the family background that she came from, and really kind of wanted to emulate Martha's father and really kind of wanted to emulate Martha.
You have spent years talking to the family surrounding Jim Tyer. What did you learn about the days or months or maybe even years leading up to what happened? Was there an awareness by Martha or other people around him that now what is could be considered as CTE?
The real difficult thing with a stoic, strong individual is that they share so little with other people. That was what I was up against investigating this. Who did he talk to? Who did he share the pain that he was experiencing with? He didn't want to share that with his kids. He's supposed to be the model for his kids. So Martha knew, family members knew. Some of his actions, his 17-year-old son is like, what's going on here? Dad ran his own business. He prepared for life after football. He was set to be as successful in business as he was in football. And his job's progression or degression goes from owning a sports marketing business, on the road sales for mom and pop stores, a flea market booth, Amway, unemployment. The guy was losing his capability to do the things that he had used to do. And he, as I found, as I investigated, there was one person alive who knew what he confessed to a counselor. I'm afraid all my teeth are falling out. I think I have diabetes, even though the doctor says I don't. And he was incredibly paranoid about what was going on around him. His mind wasn't working.
I want to play a clip from your upcoming film, Beneath the Shadow. And this is of the sister of Martha Tyer, Jan Lundstrom, talking about the last few weeks before that murder-suicide and what Martha said about Jim's condition.
You know, she said, Jim is sick and I'm going to have to go earn the living to support our family. And Mom started making her dresses, was kind of waiting for a final fitting, and then they were dead.
I mean, not only did children lose a mother, Martha's family lost a sister and a daughter. It's been decades since. How has this shaped her family?
It's hard to comprehend this, but Martha Tyer was the firstborn child to her parents. And her parents were remarkable people. Her dad was a triple amputee who had a master's degree. And most people didn't know he's a triple amputee because he hit it so well. Think about that. He was an inventor. He was an engineer for Sears. He was the model of resilience that people looked up to. That having been said, when Jim and Martha die, Martha's parents come to the house and move into the bedroom where the murder-suicide took place that day. I cannot imagine, as a parent, doing that. And they never said a bad word about Jim, in large part because they loved Jim and knew who he was. They didn't see that night as an immoral, poor character event. They saw him as being sick. They just didn't know what to name the sickness.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're speaking with documentary filmmaker Kevin Patrick Allen about Jim Tyer. He is a former NFL player that is now up for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. In 1980, Tyer killed his wife in a murder-suicide. And in the decades since, some believe, including Tyer's children, that he suffered from a severe case of the brain disorder CTE, that is chronic traumatic encephalopathy. When did CTE begin entering into the conversation in relation to Jim Tyer?
When I started just stirring up this hornet's nest, like I say, I wanted to tell a story of resilience with the kids. And then I just thought, I know we don't have its brain. I know that CTE wasn't discovered in 2005.
For people to be aware, to get that diagnosis, the person has to pass away and you have to look at their brain, correct?
Correct. And so I thought maybe I can either figure out yes or no, a circumstantial case. So I made a list. Is there brain tissue that's available? Because it was a crime that occurred and maybe the medical examiner kept it. Did Jim keep any notes? Did he take any psychological, you know, evaluations? Was there a doctor that saw him, before all this happened? And, you know, honestly, the odds that I would find those things were very small. And I found four of the five things that I was hoping to find.
And what are those? I mean, help someone understand what CTE is and how it can cause a change, a very dramatic change in behavior.
Right. So CTE, your brain is degenerating. So your prefrontal lobe, you're not able to, you know, people say, well, gosh, his business was in a shambles. That's why he did it. Well, yeah, why was his business in a shambles? Because he was running it terribly and didn't know how to do it anymore. Then it also affects the emotional center of your brain. So let's take your good-hearted self that everybody loves and then remove the ability to have critical thinking skills. And then we're just going to kind of mess with the part of your brain that helps you regulate emotion. You take those things away, and that's like being in a car doing 80 miles an hour, and your steering is not working, and your brake, no brakes, and the pedal is to the floor. That's what it's like to be in that state.
Mm-hmm. You spoke with a pastor in your film, and we're going to play a clip. And tell us about this pastor and what they told you about what Jim Tyer was experiencing. We'll play a little bit of it, but why was this pastor so important to your piece?
Because the reason I mentioned earlier that you got this strong, stoic man. When he's finally at the point where things are spiraling so bad, he still doesn't want to share it with people that are close to him. It would be shameful. But he goes to his church, and the pastor is the guy.
Let's take a listen.
You know, Ted, our pastor, was trying to help him deal with some of these things, the pain that was in his head sometimes. And, you know, a lot of stresses and strains on him as a person, but really physical pain. I think he just couldn't hardly think straight.
And CTE is become a larger part of the conversation, specifically in the NFL. You know, it's a contact sport. There are repeated hits to the head. But even so, it can be hard for someone to visualize how a brain disorder could lead someone to grab a gun and kill someone that they love. And there have been other cases of violent incidents among pro athletes who now, in this conversation of CTE, they're included in this conversation. Can you help people understand what you learned about why this can lead to such violent behavior in some cases?
You know, the thing that is at the core of it that I think it's so difficult for people, it's difficult for everybody, is that when you see a horrible thing, you want to attribute it to a horrible person. It's human nature. Because it hurts so bad, you want to refocus that pain. Somebody's got to be responsible. They got to pay. But if you're not at the wheel of the vehicle, how can that be? And so many people have said, well, there's a lot of football players, and not all of them do this, or most of them don't do this. Well, listen, there's guys that their careers end because of an Achilles injury. Others are knees. Others are shoulders. No one person is the same. And I guess the thing that really struck me was that I made a list on paper of the risk factors for CTE. Which position is the worst? Does length of time playing, you know, impact? Anyway, I put together this list. Jim Tyer is a data point that is in an area of that graph that's away from everybody else. You're talking about a 320-pound man with a head so big they didn't have a helmet that would fit him, so they retrofitted it by sawing it in half and squeezing it on his head. It was in a time when you couldn't use your hands at that position, so ramming your head was the best way to protect your quarterback, and he was known for doing it better than anybody else, and held the record for the Kansas City Chiefs of most consecutive starts, which is usually held by like a punter. So this guy, left tackle, plays 245 consecutive games over the course of 14 years. And Jim Tyer is patient zero. We may have figured it out with Mike Webster in 2005, but the fact that you name a disease one year does not mean that it began occurring that year.
Mm. You did take this information about Jim Tyer to the leading CTE experts. That's the Concussion Legacy Foundation. What did they tell you about the information that you brought to them?
You know, I flew to Florida with the eldest Tyer child because I wanted that child to explain to Chris Nowinski with the Concussion Legacy Foundation what he had lived, what he had seen. And Nowinski said, based on the fact that Jim changed in the way he conducted his business and the person that he was highly respected. He said, I think CTE is what's connecting the dots. And the thing that really was a gut punch, though, is that Brad Tyer, the eldest son, was hopeful that if other people saw that my dad was not a bad guy, he could restore the family name. And Nowinski said, football doesn't want this for you, man. They don't want this for you. There is no upside for them. And I remember when Nowinski, it gets to me now, when Nowinski said that, he's speaking the truth. He's not trying to hurt Brad. But I could see it on Brad's face. I'm never getting I'm never getting my dad's name put back right. It's not going to happen.
Finally, in the last 30 seconds or so that we have, we're talking about a murder-suicide that happened in 1980, a career that happened 50 years ago. And today, this person is in contention for the Hall of Fame. Right? So that can show some strides of how this conversation is changing when it comes to what football can do to the brain. But some would argue the Hall of Fame pales in importance to what was lost decades ago. Why does this development, this possibility of him being inducted into the Hall of Fame next month, matter?
Because it appeals to society's ability to see nuance and not be punitive out of a knee-jerk reaction, and to factor in the science of it and then ask the people who knew better than anybody, which is the family. There are many families that if dad kills mom and kills himself, They're not going to have no problem distancing themselves from dad. They have not done that. And these are smart people. They're not doing it out of, oh, you know, we've got some kind of rose-colored glasses on here. They're doing it because they knew their dad.
Kevin, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Kevin Patrick Allen is a former journalist and a filmmaker behind A Good Man, The Jim Tyer Story. Jim Tyer is a former NFL great who is now up for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. In 1980, Tyer killed his wife in a murder-suicide. In the decades since, some believe, including Tyer's children, that he suffered from a severe case of the brain disorder CTE, chronic traumatic encephalopathy. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicki Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.